Let me welcome you to our time of worship. My name is David Langrish, pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Lakewood, Colorado, opening another campus in southwest Denver around Littleton, and thankful to be with you now in our online campus. You're not alone. You are gathered with the body of Christ, and you may feel alone right now because you're watching this all by yourself. But I know many of you, I love you, and you are now connected to the body of Christ. We're going to worship today and include in that a celebration of the Lord's Supper. So prepare for that later on in the service. If there's a question about that in your mind, let's have a conversation to prepare you to receive Christ's gifts. And we continue in this series, Our Next Generation, and excited to talk to you about the values we have at Bethlehem and what undergirds our ministry. So let's worship. And let's worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King. To the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till the stone was moved for good. For the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings. meet me on the mountaintop. You see me in the valley low. There is no home without you here. And I find you in the crowded thoughts. You quiet all the question marks. There is no space your love won't fill. I'll trade all my fear for peace of mind. All my heaviness for burdens light. And this will be my song. You are always good. Sing it all day long. And you are always good. And when the day is through, I am left with you.
You are always. today, as we continue our series, Our Next Generation, we're going to be reflecting on how God's Word is life-giving and how wonderful that is. But just for a moment, I'd like us to reflect on how our words aren't always life-giving. We're called to be God's mouthpiece to the world, to give life-giving words, His life-giving words, but so often our words are hurtful. They tear down. They don't build up. They certainly don't give life. So let's take a moment to confess these sins and all other sins on our hearts and in our minds. Pray with me. Lord God, we come before You today in need of Your mercy, Your grace, Your forgiveness. We need You, Lord, to give us life. Lord, we need You to speak through us. So often, our words are not life-giving. Our words hurt. They tear down. They kill. And Lord, we commit many other sins of thought, word, and deed, sins that we know, sins that we don't know. And for all of these, Lord, we pray that You speak to us, that You speak Your life-giving word to us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, poor miserable sinners. Create in us a clean heart, Lord, by Your word, by Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Beloved, Jesus is the Word of God, the life-giving Word of God. What He says goes, and He says to you, He says for you, your sins are forgiven. He gives you life in His name. Amen. Let's read from God's life-giving Word, our first reading, coming from Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is God's word. Our second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This too is God's word. Our gospel reading comes from John chapter 8. So Jesus said to them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. And as God's people gathered together, we are invited by him to confess who we believe him to be today using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Would you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your word in our lives. It's life-giving. And today, as we're focusing on your word, we're trusting that it will do just that. Give us life, restore us, strengthen us, and bless us. And continue, Lord, to walk with us as your servants. In Jesus' name, amen. Every so often, you get reminders maybe to appreciate life, even treasure it a little bit more. Some of you know I've got family in Seward, Nebraska, and about a month ago, a story came out of Seward on my social media feed. There was this student athlete, 22-year-old student athlete, Matthew Wing, who went out driving, had several students with him. It was late at night, and a car going the wrong direction on the road hit them head on. Matthew Wing was killed, and all the other passengers were injured, one of them severely. And you think about what that is, just unimaginable sadness and loss for Matthew's parents, for his family, which included his wife, Bree. They were married less than a year. And yet these things, they're just really hard to understand, even for people who have a strong faith in God. There's just lots of questions, which honestly may not get answers this side of heaven. Well, with a death like this, there comes that time for the funeral, right? So who's going to do Matthew's funeral? His father, Dan Wing. See, Dan Wing was a pastor. He was Matthew's pastor. And I know how, as a pastor, when a funeral comes, that's the job the pastor has to do. But my gosh, this is Dan's son. And I don't know. How did he do it? I think about my own situation. Could I do this? I don't think I could if one of my children died tragic like that. So how did he do it? Well, he went into that service clinging to the power of God's word. He couldn't say anything that would erase the grief. He couldn't undo the tragedy. He couldn't answer all the questions that people had. But he could bring the word of God to comfort himself, comfort others. He could extend that promise, that hope of eternal life, and he could assure people of a salvation in Jesus Christ that conquers death by conquering sin. The Word of God, that's what brings it. The Word of God is life-giving. It's just as Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, Dan and Sarah Wing, Bree Wing, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, Jesus says, then you're truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Free indeed. Now, we're in a sermon series now that it's sort of a culmination of a lot of work that we've been doing with what's called the 5-2 Network. And they've been working with us just to help us clarify what God is calling us to do and mobilize everyone to rally behind this compelling vision of our future and the growth that God has designed for us. In fact, just this weekend now, we're having this workshop where we're equipping and training people. So Saturday, raising up teams for what's coming ahead of us Saturday, and then also the Friday before that. All right, so all that's going on. So we've entitled the sermon series, Our Next Generation. Our Next Generation. So clearly we're focusing into the future on what God is going to do next with and through Bethlehem. Who will be a part of that next generation of members, of school families, Bible study leaders? Who are the families, the friend groups of the Bethlehem of tomorrow? And not just the next generation, our next generation. Now, some of you may recall how last October, we surveyed the congregation. We did a 2-day workshop, of which many of you were a part there, all trying to get at what is the core of Bethlehem? What are not just the things that we value at Bethlehem, but what are the values that stand behind the story we have of our ministry success and ministry growth? And one of the questions that we asked was, what do you love about Bethlehem? And I'll tell you, that produced this giant spreadsheet of things that we value at Bethlehem. But you have to be careful with something like this, because there's a saying, what got you here won't get you there. What got you here won't get you there. In other words, what worked in the past might not, often does not work today. And that's true. That's true to a certain extent. But while maybe some of the ways we did ministry in the past won't produce the same results or can't produce the same results today, our values will. So what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks here of this series is we're going to unveil what really you have helped us see as our core values that have driven our ministry and will drive it into the future. And we're just going to do one of these each week for the next 4 weeks. Today's value. We value God's word. We value God's word, and we believe if it is truthfully taught, it's life-giving. Life-giving. What did Jesus say? If you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free indeed. But let's look a little bit more closely at that first value. We value God's word. We do. And we believe if it's truthfully taught, it is life-giving. For whom? Life-giving for whom? And I hope every one of you says, life-giving for me. God's word has been, and it continues to be life-giving for me. Because all of what we're doing here at Bethlehem, it's a waste of time. If you don't apply those promises of God to yourself personally, I mean, it's great if your parents were Christians. And your grandparents, they were Christian. And your children, if they know the promises of God in Christ Jesus, but if you don't know and you don't apply this promise and say these are your promises, then we're lost. However, when we ask the question, life-giving for whom, the answer can only be for me. It can't be. I mean, that's just consumerism. You know, what do I get out of this? All right, so it seems like, I mean, an obvious answer would be, well, you know, we believe God's word is, when it's taught properly and is truthfully, it's life-giving, should be for others. And it is. I mean, that is a driving agent in all of our mission work, in our school, in Guatemala, in the conversations that you have with your friends and your family, others. We want others to know God's love and his grace, his forgiveness, his salvation. But once again, while that is true, if God's word is only for others, but not me, that produces hypocrites. I want you to live like a Christian, but I'm not always going to do that. Do what I say, but not what I do. Oh, no. Our value at Bethlehem is God's word, okay? Not just for me, not just for others. God's word, truthfully taught, is for us. It's life-giving for us. Again, not just for me, not just for others. It is for everyone. And yeah, and yes, we're asking, you know, how can our next generation get what we have? But we have to have it. This can't just skip a generation, right? And people like us reproduce or produce people like us, which doesn't mean we have to be perfect, because we're not going to be perfect. And it doesn't mean we'll perfectly accomplish this or model this. But we can be a part of how the next generation experiences the same grace that we have experienced. We can be used by God so that those who come after us can share our same hope. But this is all centered on what Jesus said to those Jews who believed in me, in him. If you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word. So the question is, how do we get people to abide in his word? And we have our work cut out for us. Oh my gosh, according to a recent study, only 31% of people in the United States read the Word of God daily. And that was the optimistic study. Another one came out and said it was only 16%. And that wasn't even just every day. That was just, you know, most days you read the Bible. Another study, 13%. And I'm like, man, we got to stop doing studies or we're going to hit zero. You can't abide in Christ's words, in Jesus' words, if you're not abiding in Jesus' word. And if you're not abiding in Jesus' words, all those other things fall away as well that Jesus described. And you're not truly his disciple. You won't know the truth. And you won't be set free. But if you do abide in Jesus' word, crazy things can happen. Crazy things. Some of you might know the name Francis Collins. He is a brilliant physician and geneticist. He led the Human Genome Project. And just a man of logic, of reason, of data. But honestly, for much of his life, he was an atheist. Religion was just a cultural relic, something that maybe provided comfort for some people, but it just didn't have the observable, objective facts and proof that he needed. Well, then something happened. He started noticing how his patients, many of them who were terminal, faced death with a confidence and a peace that honestly, it deeply unsettled him because he didn't have that kind of hope. And one day, a woman came to him who was suffering from just really terrible heart disease. And she gently asked him, "So doctor, what do you believe?" And it caught him off guard because he realized as much education as he had never really given a serious examination of the case for faith. So that started his spiritual journey. And so books on apologetics, he read C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. But you know what truly engaged him? Was the Bible. And he started reading the Gospel of John, but not as literature, not as myth, but just with open curiosity. And to his surprise, the words seemed to read him. I'll say that again. The words seemed to read him. And he found the figure of Christ compelling, unlike any other man or teacher he had ever encountered. Francis Collins is now a follower of Jesus Christ. He realized that faith and reason, they don't have to be enemies. If you abide in Jesus' words, crazy things can happen. Francis Collins abided in Jesus' word. And now he's truly his disciple. He knows the truth, and the truth has set him free. Now, the best advice that I can give you, or someone maybe who's searching, I mean, really anyone, even somebody who's opposed to Christianity, is give the Word of God a chance. Give it a chance. The Word of God is alive. I want you to listen. Hebrews 4, verse 12, and the words that we have there. For the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Okay. You know, God's word is life-giving because it's alive. It's alive with the promises of the gospel, our rescue from sin. You know, when Jesus was trying to convince those Jews, to believe in it, to abide in his word so that they might be set free, where does he start? In verse 28, he says, "And when you have raised up the Son of Man, then you will know I am he." That's talking about the crucifixion. So Jesus is saying, hey, when you see how I will pay for your sins, then you'll know. When you see how much I love you, how I will die for you, then you'll know. And what happens when we know? What happens when we know the truth? Well, Jesus says then that truth will set you free. So give the Word of God a chance. Because the Word of God is useful. Paul, in writing to young Pastor Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul writes, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Word of God is useful. I mean, do you believe Jesus when he says it will set you free? Because it's already done that. It's already done that with your sin. You are set free from sin. You're free from its lies. Free from its allure. Free from its pain. You are free from its punishment, its chaos, from its hopelessness, from its destruction. So now, take that saving word of God and allow it to open up the freedom in the other areas of your life. The Word of God is useful for all those things that the Bible said, teaching, rebuking, correcting, all of it. And the Word of God promises results. So give that Word of God a chance. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, we hear, "So, God says, is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Okay. Now, this doesn't mean, automatically everyone becomes a Christian when they hear the Word of God. But even if they don't, even for those who don't, they're still forced to confront the truth in that Word. even if they don't yield, they still, they like have to redouble their efforts to resist them. We're wearing them down. So give the Word of God a chance with yourself, with others, and see what it can do. Okay, one more very important kind of final consideration. You know, our value is the Word of God. We believe that it is life-giving. We do, if it's truthfully taught. Not everyone teaches the truth truthfully. I mean, the devil even quotes the Bible, right? When he's trying to get Jesus, tempt him into sin. So you need to be on your guard. Is this devotion truthfully teaching the Word of God? Is this college professor truthfully teaching the Word of God? Is Pastor Langrish truthfully teaching the Word of God today? I mean, all of us need to be held to that standard. But if it's truthfully taught, what Jesus says here is true. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free indeed. Now that's life-giving. Amen. Invite you into a time of prayer now, and bring the things that are on your heart and your mind. Let's go before our Lord. He's definitely listening. He wants to hear. He wants to answer. Let's pray. Lord God, we believe your word is exactly what you promise. It is alive. It is life. It is useful. That it doesn't return empty. So help us to believe that for ourselves, for those with whom we come in contact, for all, Lord. Your life-giving word leading us to Jesus. I pray for the work we've been doing with the 5-2 Network and ask that just continue, Lord, to bless the formation of teams, the launching of these teams, the new ministries that result because of this. We do want the next generation to know you, Lord. And there are a lot of hard things that face us in life. We need that life-giving word. We pray for those who are struggling with illnesses and injuries. Bring healing to those who have been injured. For those who are dealing with diabetes, both type 1 and type 2 diabetes, bless the management of that disease. For those who are facing the challenges of the high cost of living, not only here in Denver, but throughout our country, I pray you would grant provision for them. Lord, also there's a famine in Sudan that's been going on for a long time. Provide for their needs. Be with those who are struggling to find the most basic of things in food and provision. Lord, we ask that our congregation would be faithful in influencing the people you want us to influence. But more than that, Lord, we as individuals, you've put us in circles of influence, in families, you put us in collections of workers, at jobs, whatever it is, wherever we have influence, Lord, the people we meet at Starbucks or at the grocery store, help us to use our influence purposefully. Lord, we're opening a campus down in southwest part of the metro area here in Littleton. And just continue to be with the planning for the opening of the Early Learning Center. And just bless Kat Schmidt as she'll be the director of that Early Learning Center down there. And strengthen and sustain her for that job. Sandy Wendelin, as she's coordinating many of those things for the Early Learning Center with her. Also Pastor Dyer, as she's preparing to be the campus pastor there. All of it, Lord. And may an extraordinary number of people come to know you and life in your name. Be also with those families who are considering making that their church home for this time, for a season. Lord, we do pray you'd also bless our campus here in Lakewood. We're firing up summer camp already, getting things ready for this summer, and we need a director. Lord, I pray maybe there's somebody here in our assembly, our congregation, for whom that would be the perfect thing this summer. Be Lord, the pressure on them, the pushing, the nudging, whatever it takes, Lord, to show them what you're willing for them. Lord, we also pray for all of our ministries in our Lutheran church, but also outside the Lutheran church. Lutherans for Life, as they advocate the lives of the unborn children, as they advocate for moms who are caring for little children, and just value life in our world. Lord, we do pray you'd protect those who are in the womb. And Lord, we ask your blessing on the family and friends of Janet Fichter. Janet passed away. It was a very quick and sudden battle with cancer, and Lord, I know her hope is in you, and I know you rewarded her faith with the promise of eternal life would be with her family and friends. And all of us, Lord, as we come to you, depending on you and relying on you, so thankful that you are God, praying that prayer that your Son Jesus himself taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we now prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, we see where the power of God's word is combined with simple elements to do something extraordinary. Because Jesus was and is God. And the words that he spoke with his disciples as he was gathered for the Passover that one last time, give us now this meal that we have with Christ's words. For our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and now to you, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, when he'd given thanks. He gave it to his disciples and now you, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. If you're not receiving communion, receive this blessing of God. He loves you, and he's called you to be his. And through the waters of baptism, he washes you, makes you new. He regenerates you and gives you new life. Live in that new life, strengthened by Christ himself, in his name. Amen. And now, let's take and eat. This is the body of your Lord Jesus Christ, and it's given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And then take and drink. This is Christ's blood, and it is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse.
This eating of Christ's body, this drinking of his blood, strengthen you and preserve you steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. Amen. And we go from worship with the blessing of God and know this is his blessing for you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for this time of worship. I take something from the time of worship today and say, I'm going to do something this week with it. And then also think about maybe people in your life, in your circle of influence, and using that influence well. And maybe it's just forwarding the link that said, hey, you should listen to this service or listen to this sermon. And know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you in that. So love on, love on. You're changing the world. Love on.